speaking out of Luke, start with, we're going to be in chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, and I'm going to do each verse one at a time, if I can, and expound on each one. You know, the Lord has given me, I think, a great message here to share with you. My prayer is that he presents it, because if I do, I'll only mess it up. So I rely heavily on the Lord to share through me. It's his word, and he's the one that protects it, keeps it, and delivers us because we're in it and use it. So that is always my prayer. Although I tend to be a little like the Apostle Paul in this way, I remember, I believe, I don't know if it was Antioch or wherever it was that he went, and he preached way into the night. A young man got up in the window, and they must have been up pretty high, and he fell asleep and fell out. And so if I see anybody fall asleep, I'll quit. All right. So, because I don't want to bore you. Not that Paul was doing that. But anyway, let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this time, and Lord, for these people. And Lord, you can always sense when there's a people that have a heart to hear and a desire to learn more about you and your word. Not just to hear, to know, but Lord, that they can actually use it to glorify you. So Father, in all that we do this day, may it just give us an understanding and a knowledge and an ability with your anointing to be able to use it to your glory and to benefit others. So Father, thank you for this time again. Speak through me, and may I do it quickly so nobody falls asleep. We just give you praise in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all realize how dark this world is, right? It's really dark and getting darker quicker. So God is not in heaven wringing his hands. What am I going to do now? You know, oh my, I didn't think that would happen. And look what happened. Whoa. He's not surprised about any of it. In fact, it's all according to his plan. So as Christians, we've got nothing to worry about. All I can say is time's going to get hard. It's going to get tough. But we got Jesus. And we're going to make it. Many others won't. But as Christians walking the word and believing the word and having Jesus in our heart, we're going to make it. Amen. So don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. Just pray. God's in control. Then when it gets so bad and unbearable for everybody, Jesus is going to say, it's time for you to come up. And for 7 years, we're going to be celebrating the wedding feast of the Lamb. And we're the brides. We're the brides. Jesus is our groom. And then after that, we're going to come back with the Lord, and we're going to reign and rule with him for those that are left that didn't die during the 7-year tribulation. And we're to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years and do something else beyond that even. So, I mean, folks, everything's positive for us. Amen? It's positive. So don't get excited. Just relax. You're free. Love people, and just be excited about life, that we can breathe and now we can serve God in it. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Love to serve the Lord. I never know what's going to happen next. Some things I'd rather not happen, but, you know, you got to go with the Lord. He knows what's best. So Luke 8:16, we're not to really be ashamed of who we are in him. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see its light. So y'all, you know, we're saved, but it's not like we're to be closet Christians. You know what I mean? Most of our closets, we don't even have a light in them. You know, they're just like little, and you open the door and you get enough light from the outside and that. But I don't want to be a closet Christian. You know, I want to shine bright. And I want to be really a witness for the Lord. So the Lord's saying, don't be a closet Christian. Don't be ashamed of me. There's so many Christians that are, I think, are ashamed of God. They're afraid of upsetting people and making them angry. Yeah, there's those, the word talks about those that that don't like the light. They like darkness where they're at. They're happy with sin. There's a lot of people who don't come to the Lord because there's certain sins they like to keep doing, and they would have to give that up. So therefore, not yet, maybe later, maybe some other time. So there's those that don't love the light or want the light. Our prayer should be that we want more light, amen. John 8:12, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. So it's important. Jesus is our light. We don't shine on our own, by our own good merits and who we are and what church we go to, what denomination we are, and how much scripture that we've memorized. It's got nothing to do with that. It's Jesus. He's the one that shines in us. And what we need to learn to do is fall in love with him and be his servants. Matthew 5:16 says this. I'm going to try to stay to my notes. I don't know how boring I'll be in that, but I'm going to try. Makes things go faster sometimes. Otherwise, I hunt rabbits and stuff. Matthew 5:16, it says, don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. You know, that's one of the biggest things that that really bothers me and hurts me is when I share or whatever I do, I always want God to be glorified in it. And I've had an individual tell me once that I didn't get my point across. I didn't help them. They didn't understand me and all of this. And I was more devastated in that I didn't glorify God. God didn't get any glory of what I shared and what I did. And that's what brought me the greatest pain when this guy was talking to me and saying this. And I don't know if he was trying to help me or if he just wanted to bring some grief, but I want to tell you, that hurt. I've really had to pray about it. And so, you know, you want God to be glorified. All the good that he's done for us and how he loved us and gave us everything. Here's a note in Matthew 5:16. The word light is often used as a metaphor for teachings that bring enlightenment and revelation into the hearts of men. Light can also represent the presence of God, the light of his countenance. Jesus is the light of God within us. Folks, it's important. All the little things that you do you know that people that are in the world and don't know the Lord, they're in darkness, and they see you different. They really do. Some of them will judge, oh, you think you're better than anybody else. Oh, goody, goody, two shoes, you know. And they go on because It's darkness that they see a lot of times as light. They make fun of it. A lot of them see Christians as weak. Oh, you repent, you do this, you do. Man, you're so weak. And it's like, no, I'm going to tell you to walk with the light and to walk in the Lord and to do what we're called to do in spite of those people that walk in the darkness. I'm telling you, it takes a lot of strength. But see, that's God. We can trust Him, and He gives us that, and the Holy Spirit that walks through us and helps us in all of it. So let me ask you this. If we fail to shine, who will? What will? What will people do if they don't have us? Even though right now they complain about you, maybe, and talk bad about you. I had a girl at work that used to do that all the time. They called me the Bible thumper at work. And she told a lot of people, and she came against me on a lot of different things. But one day after I worked at the airport, so one day after we worked a flight, she grabbed me, she said, "Jim, we need to talk." Okay, so we went outside, and she was telling me, "So I've got this problem. I want to hear what you got to say." You know, she came to the Bible thumper. But see, that's what people of darkness will do. They'll come to you later, privately. That's why Paul went and preached to a lot of the dignitaries privately, because he didn't want to try to embarrass them because they were in darkness and all their friends were in darkness. That's why sometimes you've got to do it in private. Pick your time. Let God show you when and when not to share. Amen? So let's read, let's read Romans 10, starting in verse 14. But I'm reading now the Passion Translation. It's different than probably what you've got, but it gives a lot of extra enlightening on things. So here we go. "But how can people call in him for help if they've not yet believed? And how can they believe in the one they've not yet heard of? And how can they hear the message of life if there is no one there to proclaim it? And how can the message be proclaimed if messengers have yet to be sent?" That's why the scripture says, "How welcome is the arrival of those proclaiming the joyful news of peace and good tidings to come." Now, you know, a lot of people take this is talking to preachers. It's talking to the preachers. It's not talking to us. I mean, that's not our job. But is that true? You know, this is talking about us, all of us. Let me give you this, just so you know. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Everybody have that? Ephesians 4, starting with verse 11. And it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Verse 12, why did he give the fivefold ministry to the church? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." He gave the fivefold ministry to teach all of us how to share the word, how to witness. So that verse that we read there in Romans 10 is not talking about the pastors. It's talking about the church and what we need to be doing. Luke 11:33-36 says, "No one would think of lighting a lamp and then hiding it. in the basement where no one would benefit. A lamp belongs on the lampstand where all who enter may see its light. The eyes of your spirit allows revelation light to enter into your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. But when your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. Open your heart and consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. We all have our opinions, but it does not mean it's of the Lord. Amen? I think that's what that's saying. If your spirit burns with it, fully illuminated with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining lamp reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. You'll be doers of the word. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I ask you. You'll be a light shining. Let's go to the next verse. Everything's going to be exposed in our lives that we try to hide now. Verse 17 of Luke 8. Since for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Now that scares a lot of people. Can you imagine when we're all in heaven and we're standing before the Lord and there's not hundreds or even just thousands, but millions of church members, body of Christ, that are there. And you stand before the Lord and all of a sudden on the screen, woof, all of your secrets. All of the things that you tried to hide so desperately is all going to be exposed. You know, that, like I say, it scares a lot of people. But it's not exactly going to be that way. Because when you have Jesus in your heart, and you're walking and you have the light, let me tell you, your sins are forgiven. They won't be up there. Because they're gone. Jesus said, I'll never remember them. They'll be as far as the east is from the west. So you can probably measure the distance from north to south, right? Because you got two poles, the north and the south. You can measure the distance. But who can measure the distance from east to west? Can't do it. There's no east and west pole, right? And so that's why the Lord said that. So let me share another verse with you. Mark 9:49-50. It says, everyone will pass through the fire. Every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Folks, I want to tell you, we're going to go through persecution. You're going to go through disappointments. You're going to go through heartaches. You're going to be at times where you think, where is God? And you may even blame God. Say, God, what did I do wrong? Are you punishing me? See, we're going to go through a lot of things. But what we need to do is hang on. Hang on to what the word says. So it says this, every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is excellent for seasoning, but if salt becomes tasteless, how can its flavor ever be restored? Your lives, like salt, are to season and preserve. So don't lose your flavor and preserve the peace in your union with one another. Don't let it go. Enemy's working hard to ruin your flavor. Have you ever been around people you would rather not be around at times? They got a real bad attitude. And they just kind of pull you down. See, that's why we've got to watch out. We're the salt. We're the salt and light of the world. What an awesome responsibility that is. If we don't share, if we don't shine, if we don't season, who will? Darkness won't. So we've got a great responsibility. It's awesome. I thank God for it. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to share. Can you imagine the God of the heavens, Jesus, who created everything, including us, saved us, did everything for us, gave us his word in written form now, and then said, you go preach. Trust me. I send you with my Holy Spirit who will build you up, who will lead you, who will teach you. And he says, you don't even have to prepare before your time if you're called up to the courts forever sharing. He says, I'll give you the words at that time. Don't worry about it. You're covered. That's who we serve. And he gave us that privilege to share his word. How awesome is that? Oh. Maybe I read that before. I don't know. Verse 17. Am I going backwards here? Oh, well. I guess I didn't hear the first part. So I had to do it over again, I guess. So nothing is secret. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this. For one day we will all be openly revealed before Christ on his throne, so that each of us will be duly recompensed for our actions done in life, whether good or worthless. Thankfully, our sins are forgiven, amen? We don't have to look back. Don't do that. The devil does that, and when he does, you need to say, no, that's done, that's taken care of. You know, I confessed, I might have said it before, but I confessed one time some sin to the Lord, and it wasn't just a few minutes later. I think I was still praying. I said, well, Lord, do you remember what I did back then and that I confessed to you? And you know what he said to me? He said, no. I said, well, Lord, I just shared it with you. He says, well, I don't remember. I'm like, oh. You remember our sins no more. I thought, thank you, Lord. Don't you wish we as Christians would be more like that? When we offend somebody, that we ask for forgiveness and immediately they forgive us and forget it? Because I've heard so many Christians say, well, I forgive them, but I'll never forget it. And I'm like, man, I'm glad you're not Jesus. So glad you're not Jesus. What guilt and shame would we haul around with us all the time? Let's look at Luke 8:18. So be careful how you listen. For whatever has, or whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a longing for truth, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Wow. Even what we think we might have will be taken away from us. So we should be seeing the real importance of having an open heart and being willing to learn and receive new things. Matthew 5:6 says this, how enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Man, crave the word. I crave the word. I want to know more. Matthew 13:12-13, it says, for everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. Doesn't mean you understand everything, but there's a lot of things that I believe God for because I have enough understanding to know his purpose usually in it. And I don't have to go back and ask him why. You ever be at work and somebody, you tell somebody to do something and they say, why? Why? Do I have to explain it to you? Really? Come on. Trust me and just do it. And that's where we need to be with God. And if you're not, then study some more. Get some more revelation. When bad things happen, you don't have to say, God's punishing me. You'll say, thank you, Jesus. I know you got a purpose in that. Thank you for your teaching. You're growing me. Because he has your best interest at heart, always. No matter how messed up we are. Amen? Only God. Only God. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have, and we talked a little bit about that, will be taken away from them. That's why I teach Jesus speaking. That's why I teach the people using parables, because they think they're looking for truth. Yet because their hearts are unteachable, they never discover it. Although they will listen to me, they never fully perceive the message I speak. That's why I try to cover things in a different way. When I talk about it, I preach about it, I try to hit it from different angles so maybe people can understand it, what I'm trying to say. But I can get to the point where a lot of people say, I don't even know what you're trying to say. Well, I know. Do you ever talk to people? You're trying to explain, you know exactly what you're trying to say, right? They have no idea what you're really trying to say. It's like my wife and I have to do that because she likes to talk. Well, you know, she'll start from 2 days before and she'll go on and on. And I'd say, wait a minute, that's too much for me. Let's start with telling me exactly just that point, what you're talking about. And then you can share the rest of it if you want. That way I know where you're going. And so that helped us a lot. And then a lot of times she'd be talking about things, she wouldn't change the subject. Or she would change the subject and I didn't know. You know, and I thought she was talking about the same thing. She's talking about something else. So I said, tell me. She said, she'll be talking to me and she'd say, another subject. And then she'll start talking. I'm like, okay, I know we're on another subject now. So we're working it out. And, my teachable and perceived. There are many who sit in within the body of Christ who seem to be part of the true church. But the problem they have is that they lack the things that accompany salvation. They don't have the evidence of the fruits that they have passed from death to life. Folks, if you don't have a light that burns, there's something wrong. You either ran out of oil or you didn't have the light to begin with. So you need to look at your life. Where are you? I know when I first got saved, how many times did I ask you if you thought I was saved? Finally, she said, if you don't quit asking me, she said, you're going to find out firsthand whether you're saved or not. I'm like, okay, I got it. I'm done. So the ones we're talking about with no works or light, these are false converts, goats among the sheep, foolish virgins among the wise, bad fish among the good, and tares among the wheat. These professing Christians are the works of iniquity of whom Jesus spoke, saying that there would be a great company who would cry out to him, Lord, Lord. But he would say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. We need to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. And if not, then we should make are call an election sure today because we may not have tomorrow. Don't let truth make you confused. Because a lot of times you hear things and you may get confused about it. It's like, what's that all about? And then a lot of times when you're confused, you judge. Did you ever notice that? Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And then you can even go and be angry about it. How dare you say such a thing? But see, you didn't understand what is trying to be said. And then you're already angry. And so that definitely closes the heart to keep you from receiving. So many pronounce premature judgment on anything before the appointed time when all will be fully revealed. Instead, wait until the Lord makes his appearance, for he will bring all that is hidden in darkness to light and unveil every secret motive of everyone's heart. Then when the whole truth is known, each will receive praise from God. And I put down in here, many will be vindicated of how people judged them. Let me tell you a little thing. My grandson called me. Oh, it's been 3 or 4 weeks. Not the last time, before that. It was a couple of weeks, and we were talking because he always gets me, and I give him scripture and information. I try to help him where he's stuck. He's back from his year of Bible school in Colorado. And he called me, and I said, you know, Dakota, it might be good if you spent a little more time with your dad. I mentioned him that had cancer and all of this and how he's not suffering any effects. Well, that's changing. And so it bothered me. We prayed for him. Lord even answered. He says, pray and keep on praying. Don't give up. And so we've been doing that. And so I've been thinking, God, what's the deal? Most people in America are never healed. Do y'all know that? So I've got people telling me that healing doesn't work anymore. Well, yes, it does. It's just not working for us because something's wrong. Something we're not understanding or getting. God wants us healed. And I said, but then I don't know if God even heals everybody. So I'm kind of getting in a state of a little bit of confusion. So I just said to Dakota, spend a little time with your dad. And he said, oh, you're saying he's going to die? I said, Dakota, that's not what I'm saying. I said, but I'm really searching the Lord. I need a word. I need an answer from the Lord. I don't want to just be like everybody else that prays for people to be healed and they end up not being healed. And I said, I don't think that's what God wants. And he said, well, you're just in unbelief, aren't you? I said, Dakota, I have faith. I believe. But right now, I need a word from God. And he says, you know, I've got a tight prayer circle, believing for God. And he says, I'm taking you out of my circle. I've been working with him. I've led him to the Lord. He'd call me about every couple of days, even when he was in school, and we'd talk for hours at a time. And now he says, hey, you're losing your faith. You don't have any faith. I'm done with you. Basically, I'm throwing you away. Can't use you anymore. And I said, well, Dakota, that's your choice. He said, well, I don't know how that's going to work in the family. I said, well, I don't know either. But I said, I want to tell you, you're still my grandson. I still love you. But it's okay if you want to throw me away. That's your choice. And say, well, maybe we'll talk later. And he hung up. So anyway, to make a longer story shorter, he called me Friday, this last Friday. He said, Grandpa, I went to my pastor and I was talking to him, and he said this to me. He says, Dakota, you're standing on your own. Now, folks, if you listen, you might learn something from this. He said, you're standing on your own faith. But he said, you're not standing with God's faith. And he says, what? He said, did you get a specific word from God that you can stand on it regardless of bad things, when instead of getting better, they're getting worse? He said, if you got a word from God that you can stand on and say it doesn't matter, rather than throwing people away who don't agree with you on everything. And he says, what are you talking about? He says, the pastor says, you're standing on your own faith. That's why you are the way you are. He said, but you got to get a hold of God and get a word from him so you can stand. Well, see, he had already talked to me maybe the week before, or a couple days before. And I told him, I said, I got my word from the Lord. And so I said, I'm good. I'm good with that. God healed everyone that came to him. His word also says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he shared some other things. And I told my wife then, she said, well, you knew all those verses. I said, yeah, I knew them. But I said, it's different when God tells them to you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's different when you get a revelated knowledge of it. Now you can stand. Now you can trust God with it. So Friday when he called, he told me what his pastor had said. So he said, well, I told my mom that I was wrong. I jumped to conclusions. This is what Grandpa was trying to do, and I didn't understand him. So he called me. So he says, I'm calling you to apologize for what I did and what I said. He said, I just didn't understand, and I'm sorry. But see, folks, that's how we get sometimes when you hear the truth. You don't understand. You get confused about it. And then you can even get angry about it. And you can even throw people away. We're the church. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're to flavor one another. That's why I want us to take the Lord's Supper together. Let's learn to do it together instead of us being an individual. Oh, see, Susie know everything. You know, our Betty prayer warrior, you know, or whatever. It's like, no, we're in this together. We're one in Christ. We're to learn to flavor each other, even though it's kind of like touch and go sometimes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You guys have got a good flavor. That's what people are talking about. What they say, it's a blessing to be here. God is here. Yes, he is. I ask him, I said, well, how do you do this? Should we do this? You do whatever you want. I'm like, you know, some people may not like change. And they said, well, we do. My wife had to say that I didn't like change. I'm like, whatever, you know. We'll talk on the way home. But you got to flavor each other. And you guys are doing a lot of that. I appreciate you having me back. I ramble. I go way over time. And I just want God to be glorified. And if I can't teach you anything, then what am I doing here? Know what I mean? I'm wasting my time, but most of all, I'm wasting all of your time. You gave up a beautiful morning to be here and to listen to somebody that didn't make any sense. How dumb is that? You know what I mean? We're the light of the world. We're to let our light shine. We're to learn God's word, and then we're to proclaim it. I love the Lord, and I want to serve him. And I want to tell you, I'm far from being the sharpest tool in the shed. But I don't like being rusty. So I've gotten more, but I feel that you understand what I was trying to say. So God bless you, folks. Hang in there. Let God use you. Let that light shine and continue to be that flavor that people desire. Amen? God bless. Want to offer you the opportunity to, if you need to make a decision for the Lord, you don't have to talk with me or anyone else up here or the other prayer warriors here. Okay, if you guys would like to come forward, and I know they would love to pray with you. So if you have anything, maybe you want to say, hey, pray for Pastor Jim that he learns to talk. You know, whatever, it's okay. But if you need to know the Lord, this is your time. Don't leave without it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, for this church and your people. Lord, you can always tell when the word is received. And at times with others that you know, it just went over their head. But Lord, I thank you that we received this morning your word. Even I learn as I expressed your word. Father, we love you. We praise you. And Lord, if anyone needs to make a decision for you, Lord, that they would be brave enough not to allow this gift to not benefit them. You want us to have our salvation in you, and we thank you for that. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.